Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
And welcome back to the Legacy and Faith Show. I'm so glad that you've joined me, hopefully again, or even if it's for the first time, I'm so glad that you've tuned in. Well, you're in the middle of a special program. I had the privilege of speaking at my church, which is Venture Church in Mill Creek. And last week, we talked about the first part of the message. Well, I had the first part of the message, and here we are doing a continuation, part two of the same message, which is the principle of multiplication. And there's five steps that I went through in this series, in this discussion. The first one was, what do you have authority over? The second one was, commit and bless what you have to the kingdom. And the third part, which is right in the middle of where we're going to pick up today, is release what you have when you are in faith. And so head back to legacyandfaith.com and you can hear the first part of this message if you did not connect with it. So head back to legacyandfaith.com, listen to that. But here is part two of my discussion at our Venture Church, and it is the principle of multiplication.
For God will perform according to his word. Now we're talking about this step number three. Are we fully persuaded? Where is our faith level when we actually sow something and start believing God that he is going to actually come through and deliver a promise in our life? Number two within this section is, can you defend your position with the word? Everything that we are to believe God for comes from his word, not through what we hope, not through our own emotional desires or our own selfish needs, but rather based and built upon the promises of God. It is essential that we are in the word, knowing and chasing after him, because when we know his word, then we can know his promises, and that gives us confidence. So be in the scripture. Believe, and can you defend your position with the promise of God? Be specific. When you are asking something from God, be specific. How else will you know if you get it? See, if I say, God, I need a car. Well, then I hope you're going to fully rejoice when you get a Yugo. Or you're going to fully rejoice when you get a car with four flat tires because you asked for a car. But if we are specific to the need, Lord, I have this type of a job, so I need a truck. I need the truck to have this. I need this capability because this is what you've called me to do. And so in order to fulfill your calling, this is what I need to have provided in my life. Well, now we can watch and we can see when that miracle shows up, we have that point to say, this was absolutely God. This is what I was believing for. So be specific. One of the reasons that we aren't specific is because our confidence level has not been built up in God that he's actually going to perform what you're believing for. So we have to get back to the word. That's where our confidence comes from. And when we are confident, then we can pray specifically. And then we have a testimony to say, I prayed for that. God came through. Isn't he good? Isn't he just? Isn't he generous? And everyone else will say, yes. Yes, he is. So be specific when you pray. Are you joyful in the process? Joy is a byproduct of faith. If I'm worried, if I'm in fear, if I have concerns about my current circumstance, instead of having the joy of God, then I'm probably not quite where I need to be to say, I am fully persuaded. I know God is going to do this. Don't be discouraged. Just get back to where we need to be. Back to the promise, seeking after the goodness and the kindness and the never-ending mercy of God. That will keep us strong. Continue in that word. Continue in your faith growing so that the promises and God alone is your refuge. not what you are seeking after, correct? It's rather, it is him that we seek after. It is goodness that we seek after. Now, keep your confidence with praise. We don't need to consistently repeat a prayer. God heard you. He's not deaf. He didn't forget. He has a really good memory. So, when we are asking and praying for something from God, we pray and we move to confidence and praise. Praise builds your confidence that God is good and that he will come through for you in the end. We don't need to continually ask over and over and over. That actually is a demonstration that you're not fully there. When we pray, we draw a line in the sand. As a matter of fact, when we give something and we align ourselves with that gift to say, Father, you've told me to give this offering, and I am going to speak over it and believe by faith that you are going to perform a financial miracle in my life, we are doing that as a sense and it's a place of a memorial that says, I did it right there. I had my faith aligned and I'm not moving from what God has told me. This is why we give. Your giving will not entice God to actually be faithful. He is already faithful. The giving is so that our hearts can be aligned and perfectly in line with him. So keep your confidence with praise. We don't need to repeat prayers. If we only praise God when the gift is in our hands, then we've missed the main ingredient of faith. Praise him after you get it, but praise him because he's faithful and it is yours. Partner with others that have faith. Philippians 4:19 said, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. Now, this is very interesting wording to me. Paul did not write, now God will supply. Paul did not write, now your God will supply. He rather said, now my God. In other words, because, Corinthians, you have given, not out of your abundance, but actually out of their need, they were giving to Paul's ministry, then he is able to come alongside of them and say, my faith that I have, my confidence in my God will come upon your life. Brandon gave a phenomenal opportunity. He has offered to come to your home and pray a blessing over your home. Business owners, he has said that he will come to your business and pray a blessing over. I mean, this is the month of blessing he's proclaimed. Take advantage of it. You have partnered with this phenomenal ministry. Don't miss the opportunity that he has given us to actually receive from his faith. Partner with the right ministries. Partner with the ministries that are going to believe what you're believing for and will see it through to the end with you. It is important of who you partner with. And then the last part of this step number three is stay within your developed faith. Now, all of us, I would assume, believe that God is all powerful, that he has the ability to get you whatever you need. So, where is the disconnect between sowing and actually reaping? Well, I believe a lot of it falls right in here. Stay within your developed faith. Just asking God for $1 million on a whim will attach to what promise? Attached to what kingdom purpose? Attached to why? So, can God get anyone in this room $1 million? Does anyone actually literally doubt that he can? I hope not. But if I am overshooting whether I truly believe that it is going to happen for me, now I have overshot my faith. See, our faith journey is a step-by-step process of building strength in us so that we can be in a position to receive. I'm not a big guy. I know, I have a jacket on. I'm hiding my guns behind it. If I had a bench press here that had 200 pounds on it, how many of you believe that I could actually bench press that thing? Okay, I have one person in the back who has overshot their faith. Thank you. I do appreciate the confidence, though. See, I can't start bench pressing 200 pounds if I've never worked the barbell alone. How is it that we believe that we can expect from God the greatest of all miracles if we've never been able to believe him for some of our daily living? Stay within your developed faith. Now, this is not something to be discouraged by. As a matter of fact, one of the greater stories that we have in the Bible is Peter, in his audacity, actually believed God or Jesus when he said, "Peter, come out of the boat." That guy jumped out on the water. Now, here's the thing. A lot of messages actually look at that instance and say, hey, Peter ended up sinking because he took his eyes off of Jesus and he went blub, 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 blub. Correct? Well, let's look at it in a little bit of a different way. How many in here have walked on water? How many have even tried? Don't raise your hand on that one. Okay. See, we look, unfortunately, at our failures instead of our successes. Do you know that it was a phenomenal success that Peter had the audacity to get out of the boat and actually follow his Lord's voice? And he walked on water. That, in my opinion, was the setup for Peter understanding what his faith felt like. That was not a failure. It was a success. It allowed him to have a step of faith and to know what faith felt like so that he can trust Jesus for the next time, that Jesus was going to call him to the next bigger thing.
You are listening to a special edition of the Legacy and Faith Show, a discussion that I had at Venture Church, and we will be right back in a moment with the continuation of that message.
Hi, this is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge." God's people need to be fully prepared in managing their finances and ensuring that their wealth is properly transferred. It is our passion to bring this knowledge to the body of Christ. If your church would benefit from having a financial and estate session that is biblically based, then I encourage you to reach out to us so that we can help design and implement a specific and strategic session for your church. Or if you are interested in estate planning services, then I likewise encourage you to reach out to us. You can go to legacyandfaith.com and receive all the information you need. Again, go to legacyandfaith.com.
Many families realize that with the passing of each generation, their family legacy is disappearing and they're feeling regret. To alleviate this heartache, Memories Worth Telling writes their family story and creates a beautiful heirloom book to preserve their unique history. Go to memorieswordtelling.com to schedule your initial consultation and learn how they can capture your legacy. Once again, that's memorieswordtelling.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Welcome back to a special message at the Legacy and Faith Show, and we are going to continue and actually wrap up this discussion of the principle of multiplication.
In business, we have a thing called the gap in the game. The gap is when, as a business owner, I start to look at where my business is not. Well, I should have had this much income. I should have had this many clients. I should have, and I look at the disparity of where I'm at compared to what my goals were. Versus the gain is when I look backwards and I say, but look at all the phenomenal steps I took in the past 6 months, in the past year. What are you focusing on when it comes to developing your faith? Are you focusing on the failure that I didn't get what I was ultimately believing for? Or are you focused on the journey that says, but I learned how to trust God more? I may have not gotten the fullness of what I was expecting or believing for, but I know my Jesus better. That's a success. We need to rejoice in our successes of faith because they happen step by step. They rarely happen leap by leap, but that's what we want. I want to jump from here back over to there just to say Jesus is good. But in the journey is where our joy is. In the journey is where we get connected with our Savior. And so rejoice when you find those moments of faith. Don't overlook them, please. They are the foundation of your next step. They are the foundation of your next victory. Don't look beyond, but rejoice with where God has you. So now step number four. I'll knock these off in relatively quick order as we start to close. Number four, follow the plan of the Holy Spirit. So we have something in our hands. We've blessed it and we've given it over to the kingdom of God. We know the promise and we're in faith that we're going to receive what we are believing for. Now, be attentive. The Holy Spirit is going to have some specific words for you, a design and a strategy to get you from where you're at to where you need to be so that you can be in the right place at the right time to receive exactly what you're believing for. Listen to the Holy Spirit. It is imperative that we have strong relationship when we are believing God for a financial miracle in our life. It is all about chasing after Him, not the financial miracle, correct? So I'm going to keep coming back. This is about our relationship with Him, being connected to the vine. He is good. He is our sufficiency. So He is going to speak to you to get you in and around the path so that He can set you up for that success. So be aware and be expecting for the Holy Spirit to speak into your life. And now number five, tend to your gifts to the end. The parable of the sower and the seed is Jesus said that this is the most important parable that there is. Did you guys know that? That Jesus actually gave you a clue of what the most important parable is. The reason is because this is the journey of everything that we ever want to do in our faith life. See, maybe I have faith to believe for finances, but maybe I'm weak if I got an attack on my health. So if I need to start believing God for my health, the parable of the sower and the seed is the journey I need to take to build my confidence in Him that He is my healer so that I can receive from Him. So the parable of the sower and the seed is our life source as Christians of understanding the steps we are going to take. But Luke, in his, Luke, why did you do this? At the very end, sneaky little guy, he has to throw in that you will receive your harvest with patience. I don't like patience. I want what I need right now. I mean, I cook my oatmeal in a minute and 30 seconds. I'm sitting there going, okay, come on, let's go. I got things to do today, right? Now we have Keurig so that we only have to wait 15 seconds to get coffee. So we want everything in our society in rapid form, but there is a patience in the process that we need to expect and embrace. And embrace. So when you get the instructions, step number five is actively tend to your gift till harvest. But when you get the instructions, you got to go. You got to act. Not acting is potentially your greatest downfall from receiving what God wants to get to you. Because as soon as you know the plan, the enemy has an opportunity to know the plan. And guess what he's going to start doing? He's going to start throwing up roadblocks, which is why it's important to listen and be in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. He's going to give you those directions. But procrastination kills our promise. So when you receive from the Holy Spirit, act. James 1:20. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Do you want to know, foolish man? There it is. That's English. That faith without works is dead. We need to move. Your action will tell me what your faith level is. It does not happen the other way around. Mark 11:24. And then I have some closing thoughts. Mark 11:24. This is really the sickle. So there's times when Jesus says, and then put in the sickle and receive your harvest. Mark 11:24 is your sickle. It says, therefore I say to you, Jesus is saying this, by the way, it's in red. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask, stop right there. Jesus, you mean only the things that are good for me. Whatever things you ask. You mean, Jesus, only the things that are going to build your kingdom. Whatever things you ask, when you pray, believe. That's your stance. We sow so that we have something that we can rest upon and we stand upon, and so that when we ask, we know that we have it because he is good. By the way, if you're going to ask for something that's stupid, you'll never gain the confidence. So you don't have to worry about whether you're acting in selfishness or whether this is outside of God's will. Stand. If you have a heart and a passion and connection with Jesus, he will lead you because he's good and he wants you to be led to a place of safety. So when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. If I can get the band back up, please. A couple of closing thoughts. This is about your relationship with a good and gracious and merciful God. These steps are to keep you in target with coming back to him so that you can be fully persuaded. In other words, you can be fully confident that he is that good for you, and that what you have need of, what you are believing him for, what you are seeking him after, that he will perform because he is good, because you found it in the word. And that is our confidence. We need to understand Red Sea deliverance. That's when Israel walked through the Red Sea to get out of captivity, versus the Jordan River is the second time they crossed a river, and that led them into direct conflict. That led them into where they had to have a battle, where they had to struggle. Your harvest, what you are believing for, is in your struggle. It is not by kicking up your feet and watching Netflix. I like Netflix. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying, you hear my heart. When we are led to a place to where we are going to be called upon to use our faith, there will be conflict, because the enemy has the legal right to push against your faith to see if you're going to remain stable. Expect conflict. It's not a no. It's conflict. You push through conflict. Your promotion and victory is through that conflict. We have to change our allegiance of trusting in my wisdom, in my plan, in my strategy, for his plan, for his strategy, and for his ways. Matthew 6:21 says, Jesus said, where your treasure is, your heart will be. So this final outcome is about making sure that you are connected to the goodness of God. Why does this matter? Why does God want, or why does he worry, or why does he even have things in the word about your finances? Why is this important to us? Because the longer we toil and struggle with the mundane things of this life, if we can't pay our electric bill, how in the world can we ever be freed up to actually walk in his anointing and his calling so that we can influence the kingdom of God? God wants your finances to be something that you don't worry about, to free you up to walk in his anointing, to free you up so that you can do his work without worrying about the mundane things of this life. You are called and you are anointed. But the longer we wait and toil with the basics of this earthly life, the longer we will be withheld from walking in the fullness of walking with Jesus and actually finding that full satisfaction, the fullness of what he has called us to, which is to serve him with passion. That's why finances matter. That's why he's laid out that you give and it shall be received. Because he wants to free you up to walk in your anointing.
Well, that concludes our special edition of the Legacy and Faith Show. I hope that this was a great Great blessing to you. As a reminder, you can get part one of that message at legacyandfaith.com. It was aired last week. So be sure to head over to the website, legacyandfaith.com, for that part of the message. And I really hope that this touched your heart. You know, there's so many promises in God's word about money. And that's not because God needs our money. It's more because we need to be in connection with Him so that we know what to do in this earthly sphere in order to connect and be good stewards over what He has given us. And this last point that I just talked about is really a big deal. He wants to talk about money because it's what we need to survive in this earthly world. He has not abandoned us. He hasn't disconnected from us. He's not afraid of money. But rather, it's a tool for us to use to bring glory to Him, to serve Him, and to allow us to build His kingdom. So I hope that this message resonated with you, that the focus was accurate, that it's about Jesus Christ and chasing after the one who has given it all and is a blessing to us. And that includes not just in the sweet by and by, but here on earth. His promises are made for us today as much as they will be for us in the future. So I hope you were blessed with this message. Head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com, for more information about what we do in estate planning and to be able to connect with us and past podcasts, not just the first part of this message, but other things about estate planning as well. So thank you for joining me on this special edition of the Legacy and Faith Show. Be blessed. We'll see you back here soon.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.